Our gospel reading this morning is according to Mark. We're in the fourth chapter. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd beside the sea was on the land. Jesus began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since there was no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, growing up, increasing, and yielding 30, 60, 100-fold. And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. It's the crowds. In the Gospel of Mark, it's the crowds. There's always crowds, this mass, this sea of humanity that's always around Jesus, and it is full of life. It reflects all of creation. All these people. People with brown skin, people with tan skin, people with beautiful, deep, gorgeous ebony skin, people in rags who are standing next to people in beautifully cut, tailored suits, people who can speak just about any language we can imagine, English, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Indian, Chinese, Swahili, Amharic, Arabic, Spanish, Latinx, people with big hair, people with red hair, people with no hair, some people who are really tall, some people who are really short, some people who have an incredible influence, some people who have been silenced and sat down, some people who are really loud and boisterous, and some people who keep themselves close in. All these people, and they have come to see Jesus. It's the crowds in the Gospel of Mark. It's the crowds that are for us a window into which we can gauge and guess the desperation and the need for God's kingdom. 2,000 years ago and this morning, it's the crowds. It's always the crowds in Mark. These people show up, they gave up their time, they gave up their hours on the clock, they gave up vacation days, personal days, sick days, they gave up sleepless nights so they could be there to hear Jesus. And Jesus hears them. And Jesus preaches to the crowds. Mark tells us in his gospel in chapter 4 that this crowd was so incredible, that it was so large and impressive, that there were so many people there that Jesus has to climb into a boat, which seems kind of strange, but if you had your Bibles handy, I'd invite you to go back to chapter 3, verse 9, where Jesus, anticipating this would happen, tells the disciples, "Get a boat ready. People are coming." Because there's always crowds. There's always people around who are clamoring and longing to hear good news, and they're gathering around Jesus. In the first three chapters of Mark, Jesus tries to hold a small group Bible study on a Tuesday afternoon, and there's so many people around the house that folks who are actually sick have to rip a hole in the roof and lower their friend down just so that he can be touched and healed. The crowds are so significant that whenever Jesus is on the seashore, they're there. When Jesus tries to sleep, they're there. When Jesus is trying to hang out with his own family, there are enough people that Jesus then turns to the crowd and says, "This is my mother and my brothers." It's the crowds. It's all those people full of anxiety, full of fear, consumed by anticipation, excitement. They keep showing up because whatever the world has given them, whatever the world has offered them, whatever the world has taken from them, it's not enough. For us, it's not enough. We keep gathering again under the shelter of God. The Holy Spirit keeps drawing us in, and some of us are here and we want to be here, and some of us are here and we're not quite sure why we're here on a Sunday morning when there's so many other things we could be doing. And some of us are here because we're full of hope, and some of us are here because we are absolutely hopeless. And we are here because we need to hear again about forgiveness. We need to hear again about grace. We need to hear about our work, our renewal. We need to know that we are continuing to grow in our faith and our relationship with God. Each of us. We got here because of the Holy Spirit, but because God's not done with us yet. Because we haven't heard enough. We haven't heard enough times. We may never hear enough times that you belong to God. That God made you. God made me. God is actively every day rebuilding us from the dust up. We dwell in stone and craggy earth. It cuts our feet. It breaks our spirit. We are the ones who are suffocated by temptation and distress. We're the ones who maybe are doing okay. Actually, we're doing just fine. But the stirring of the Spirit in our hearts tells us that we should be giving this peace away. It's the crowds. It's always the crowds in the Gospel of Mark who Jesus is talking to. So he's talking to us as individuals, absolutely. But these crowds are so crammed together that now they become one body, one mass of humanity that is moving about the gospel. And so he's proclaiming to us as a body, because we are formed and we are framed and we are forgiven as a body. It's the church. Jesus is gazing over his people here at Brayton and Ogle on a Sunday morning, and we press in, and our ears are opened by the Spirit, and our hearts are flittering in our chest, wondering what's going to happen next, and our hands are twitching just a little bit because we want to grab onto that bread and wine, which we know isn't really bread and wine. We know it's the body and blood of Christ, and we know it's been prepared for us. This parable, like so many parables, this parable on some level it seems rather obvious, even though it brings to us some thorns and some rocks, and it comes in the form of grace. Jesus sees us, and he gets in the boat. He climbs up in the front of the altar. He calls out, "The Lord be with you," and we good Lutherans say, "and also with you." Okay, that's not what it says in my translation, maybe not in yours either. He actually says, "Listen." But behind that in the Greek, he says, "Look." And behind that, what Jesus is doing, he's trying to call us in. And then he gives us this parable that maybe some of us haven't heard in a really long time. But if we're kind of honest with ourselves, at some level, it seems kind of obvious. I mean, there's good soil and there's bad soil. Be the good soil. And for those of us who have heard this parable countless times, and we've heard other parables from Jesus, we begin to realize that Jesus is just like any other preacher or public speaker. He recycles his material. Jesus loves talking about seeds. Jesus loves talking about the good earth, about the soil, getting our hands dirty, working in creation the way God gets God's hands dirty in creation. But we heard this parable, and we've heard this parable before. Good soil is good, bad soil is bad, be the good soil. So we hear these words that Jesus speaks to the church, then we settle back into our pews, settle back in, our minds begin to wander off, except now God has sprinkled the seed of God's word into our thoughts, and now it's beginning to burrow deep into our heads. And we begin to realize as we sit there with God, we can't be good soil. I mean, we can be good people. We can be good citizens. We can, you know, dress nicely and appropriately for the event we're going to. We can shake hands and we can smile and be polite to each other. We can be good Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. But we can't be good. We can't be good to God. We can't be good to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we start hearing these words of these crowds that keep moving wherever Jesus goes, and we start hearing their words in our thoughts, and we start saying to ourselves, "We're sick, Jesus. We're sick and tired, Jesus. We've been put down too much, Jesus. We're mad, Jesus. We've seen people kicked out of their homes, Jesus. And we've been part of the problem, Jesus. We've served ourselves, Jesus. And we've been served up so much hardship we don't know if we can stand, Jesus. We're tired of the anger, Jesus. We're tired of the bitterness, Jesus. We're tired of being angry at the apathy, Jesus. We're fed up with all the hateful words in our community, Jesus. And we're sick of hearing some of those hateful words move through our thoughts, Jesus. We know we are rocky soil of hardened hearts. We are so crystallized and resistant to grace that all the devil has to do is come and sweep in and sweep away with one breath everything God has done. We are over-fertilized dirt. We're so full of temporary joy that at the first sign of despair, we collapse and we deny that God is near, that grace feels fleeting, it feels fruitless, pointless. We, the church, we get wrapped in and we get wrapped up with guilt and shame because we can be so easily swayed by the words of this world, the ideas of this world, the measurements and the metrics of what makes a good church that come out of this world. We struggle with the segregation, the inequality, the injustice of this world. God's grace comes, and we can't believe that God can do anything. Through Trinity Lutheran Church, that God can bring about change and good news into this community, sometimes we doubt whether God can even care through us. We've heard these words, the words of the masses, the words that have been rumbling across creation for at least 2,000 years. It's the church. It's all of us as we stand before Christ and we're clamoring and we're reaching and we're longing and we're burning with the last drops of our energy because we want to hear him again. We want to be reached by him again. We want to be drawn in from everything we know because we want to be changed. We want new life. We want to be transformed. We want to be grown from soil that stifles the earth into soil that breathes and flourishes and gives life to the earth. So Jesus preaches to the crowds. He preaches to us because we want to believe that what we know about our life today is not what God devises. We want to know that the Spirit is still stirring and bringing us in and is tying us to each other and making us one body in Christ. Because Jesus sees us and Jesus hears us and Jesus loves us. And then Jesus speaks grace again. We are created by God to be good soil. He takes us all the way back to the very first creation story. He reminds us that we have been crafted by our Lord to reflect God's image. That we, this body, Trinity Lutheran Church, we're full of our questions, our doubts, and our deep-seated hope, and we have been fashioned by God every day, every Saturday night, every Sunday morning when we gather into this place. We show up, and some of us are depleted, and some of us are just plain done, and others of us are waiting to see what God will do. And then Christ receives us in his little boat on the shore, and he makes us whole again. He takes all of it. All that baggage, all that shame, all that sin, all of it that we carry with us and it weighs us down, he takes every bit of it and we throw it all in the boat. And he carries it off. And he places it on the cross. He carries off our brokenness. And then when we bury him down into that old soil, he breaks us free and he heals us again. He empowers us again. He gives this church a voice. He gives this church power. He gives this church courage, and he loves this church from our death into our life. It's the church. It's Trinity Lutheran Church and the countless other churches across creation. We are the window for our neighbors to gauge and to guess the reach and the presence of Christ. Yeah, we're imperfect, and through Christ we are perfect. We are flawed, and through Christ we are forgiven. We are not what we would expect. We may not even be what we want to be. And yet through Christ, we are enough so that we can serve our neighbors. So we're the masses. We keep showing up like the crowds in Mark because God keeps bringing us in. We're the old soil made new soil so we can speak life and justice and equality and compassion, so that we can sing a new song through an old refrain, so that we can listen the way that we have been heard by God, so we can open the doors the way Christ opened up the grave. It's the church, this church, and countless churches. We're being called back to Christ so that we can no longer be the way that we were, so that we can become God's body, so we can proclaim through our presence that Christ hears the words. He knows the desperation, the frustration. He knows the need, and Christ is responding. Christ will not let this world remain the same. Amen.